Blog Talk Radio.
Fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, November 26th. After our unfortunate loss to the Seattle Seahawks and some Tampa Delphia Talks Eagles about our 5-6 team. A lot to talk about if you want to. A lot of points to make. And you're probably not going to get a whole lot of resistance. Please keep your bashing to a minimum. Our phone number to call in is 657-383-1614. 657-383-1614. My name's Paul. I head up the Tampa Delphia Eagles fan club here in Tampa, Florida. We have two locations. And we're loyal, we're diehards, we're stubborn, we're transplants, we're all ages, all sizes, all makes, models, incomes. I don't care what you do, I don't care what you wear, I don't care what you drive, I don't care where you live, I don't care what your house is like, your car or your bank account. None of that matters. You walk into Tampa Delphia wearing Eagles green, you're home. So we had a good crowd again on Sunday at Muggs, where I was in Brandon, and previously I was at Muggs in Clearwater. Please excuse me, Muggs in Clearwater. The previous week I was at Muggs and Jugs in Brandon, and in both locations we had two miserable games. So somebody this Sunday, could you please call me and wake me up? Because I keep having the same nightmare every Sunday that the Eagles are getting pummeled into the ground by a ridiculously low score. Wow, what a week. But there's a lot of information that comes out there. And as you know, the purpose of the show is not to praise the Eagles, not to bury the Eagles, not to bash the Eagles, not to elevate the Eagles. And let's not be starstruck. These are just young guys. Kind of freakish. They're big in size. Many are not that smart. They're not that well-spoken. After football, what you going to do? But they seem to be larger-than-life heroes because they play a sport on Sunday afternoon when men hit each other. It's entertainment. That's what they want you to think. They want you to think they're warriors, gladiators, heroes, and gods. No, they are not. They are not. I've interviewed sports guys for many years at this point, as some of my media pals here in Tampa will attest. And I can tell you that some are very coherent, very lucid, very sharp. They speak in complete sentences. And some are even fairly bright. Some are damn smart. And then there's others that, you know, well, keep the sentences short, if you know what I mean. Let's take that thought into the Philadelphia Eagles, because again, our purpose is not to praise these guys, nor to put them down. These are young guys that have a gift, a skill, a talent, and this is how they're fulfilling that talent and bringing it to promise by playing this sport. They're getting paid handsomely to do so. But you wonder sometimes, right, when you look at the screens and you see the plays, how did he miss that tackle? Why did he fumble? What? Geez, oh man, couldn't you get downfield faster? Can't you run faster, throw farther, jump higher? We lost. We lost to the Seattle Seahawks in an embarrassing game, just like New England. the previous week. New England just let us have the ball and do what we were going to do, which was really not much of anything. They took over on downs, and they didn't even have to really worry too much about field position. And even with New England's bad receivers, they still went down, scored, and won the game. For the Seattle Seahawks, we had some surprises. Brandon Brooks went out. We were doing pretty well once again. And the running game was clicking. It was working. But then we stopped it. We changed it. What happened? Whoa, how come we're not running the ball? Well, Brandon Brooks went out. Yeah, medical problem, they said. And I don't know if you've read the blurbs that are out there right now, but Brandon Brooks had a panic attack, a little bit of mental anxiety. Nothing to be ashamed of. It catches up to guys sometimes when they're in stressful situations and they're always worried about handling it just right. It happens a lot in the military. And you're basically doing that to stay alive. You go short on sleep because you're always alert. You're always squinting into the dark. You watch the people around you. You watch their hands, their movements, their eyes. And you're always, always, always on. No rest, no relaxation. So you wear down. Brandon Brooks, mental and physical exertion. He's turned himself into an all-pro. And he's been working very hard. And the guy needs a break. He needs a break. He took one. And because of that, we couldn't run. We also had another change on the line, too. We had Vitae come in. Lane Johnson's out, as you know. Got his head dinged. And what we did was we took Dillard, the backup to Peters, and moved him to the opposite side of the line, which was not his natural position. And he didn't play very well, so therefore he was benched. Vitae came in and played the game. And some of his teammates are not very praiseful. Is that a word? They didn't praise him very much. They kind of, weren't kind to the guy. They said some things about where he's at versus where he should be in terms of playing the game, his effort, and I don't know about his commitment or his dedication, but they think he should be further along and playing a better game. So he was there. Does that matter in the scheme of things? No, because a lot of people said that the game was tanked by Carson Wentz. Tanked in the sense that he's the main reason, not because he's, in someone's pocket and gave the game away. No. Carson Wentz, I hope we never do that. They say that he single-handedly was the main reason for the loss. And you really have to think about that. There's a lot of bad stats that he accumulated. He didn't improve his game at all from last week's review of stats. But I'll tell you what, Carson, you can't bench the guy. It's not like he's a quarterback that's been on his 12th team who only won a handful of what might be considered a handful of starts in his illustrious career. If the Eagles are going to do anything this year and for the next few years, it's got to be with Wentz. They need to get the guy rolling again and not riding the bench. Just like in baseball, you swing your way out of a slump. Well, this is what you do in football, too. You keep going out there. Now, no doubt Carson Wentz may have had a little bit of the yips from Nick Foles coming in to replace him on that phenomenal year that he had back in 2017. And Nick Foles did a fabulous job, as we all know, and went the distance all the way to the glory of the Super Bowl. And he, being Carson Wentz, did not want to have Cade McCown come in behind him in this game just to repeat that fact. He went out there hurt and all and did what he did. But it showed. Carson Wentz is as much of a problem as anybody on Sunday. He was missing open guys again. I mean, embarrassing. Now, in his defense, let me put this out there right now. There was somebody that put out a video clip that said the reason why Carson Wentz is missing these guys is because the receiver was in the exact spot where he should have been. But then he moved. Wentz, in the meantime, threw the ball to the spot where the guy was, and the guy ran out of the pattern. Huh? What's going on there? Who spotted that? Well, it just happened to be a wide receiver coach who put some of the blame on the receivers. And what receiver did that, you might ask? The new guy, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He's new. He'll learn. But it happened. So, the sun's still in the sky. But Wentz looks bad. And he shouldn't look bad. So I put that out there right away. Not because I'm a big fan of Carson Wentz. I'm a big fan of the Eagles. Players come and go. I'm a big fan of the team, the logo, the helmet, the colors, right? The traditions of the Eagles. But Wentz was part of the problem. He was fumbling. Two interceptions along with three fumbles. Come on. What the hell? He's taking sacks when he could throw the ball away. A veteran quarterback would have unloaded that ball into the bleachers. But not Carson Wentz. I say to you this, that I have no idea what's going on with this guy. He's throwing interceptions that are just amazingly hard to believe that he could do that. But I think that Carson Wentz is so stressed out, he's really revving himself up into a dangerous red zone of RPMs, trying to win the game by himself, which we all know doesn't work. Malcolm Jenkins came out today and said, I got a word of advice to the offense and to Carson Wentz, because I've been there so many times. Relax. Let the game flow by itself. Do your job. Don't put the whole game on yourself and try to win it by yourself. Some of those guys are on offense. As a side note, since we've had the return of so many of our good guys on defense, you're seeing the defense play a much higher, elevated game, a stronger game, a better game, a smarter game, because they're letting the game flow and they're following their coaching and their instincts. Same thing with the offense. The offense has to let it go. Carson Wentz can't make every play, but he's trying. He's trying to run. He's trying to throw the long ball. He's doing handoffs and making silly things happen. Like, what was that fumble right there for two on the two-point conversion play that they were trying to go into? Guys, keep it basic when you can. Use what got you there. Look, you know we always talk stats in the final 15 minutes. I'm going to share something with you early on. I believe in numbers and science. And how many times a game does a team get the football to start a series and drive downfield? How many times? Would you say 10? Would you say 12? Would you say 15? Would you say 18? It depends on the game, right? Some are three and out, and you get a lot more of those series and stuff like that. So, okay, let's say on average we got 15. Now, when you look at the great teams, they did dink and dunk, plink and plunk. They went down the field in small chunks, 4 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards. They didn't set the world on fire. They weren't throwing 12-yard passes. They weren't throwing 18-yard passes. And they weren't throwing 22-yard passes or 28-yard passes. Not all the time. They were throwing the small short ball within 10 yards. And we're not doing that too much. But Carson Wentz is missing Sanders on screenplays. So you got to wonder. Maybe the guy's got a depth perception problem and he needs glasses. Maybe they ought to get that looked at. But the Eagles used a wide receiver. Please excuse me. The Eagles used a wide receiver on Sunday by the name of Greg Ward. The guy has been around for how long, did you say? Did you say Greg Ward's been around for what, a year or two? You'd be wrong. Greg Ward's been with the Eagles for 3 years. Count them. One, two, three. See? Holding up my hand. And a lot of people during training camp and practice have said, you know, the guy's a gamer. The guy's an NFL caliber wide receiver. But they haven't used him. Why? We're struggling for wideouts. Why? So they used Greg Ward on Sunday. Greg Ward went out there and he had six catches. Six! Only for 40 yards. Oh, only for 40 yards, you say. Well, you know, that's not a big deal. Well, yeah, it is. And here's why. He had a 6.7-yard average, which is perfect. Carson Wentz, do you know how many yards he has per attempt? 6.5. Yeah. So the 20-yard plus ball to Aguilar and the other fancy plays to Jeffrey and Ertz, they may not be the norm. Now, your tight ends are usually the short game anyway. But I say this because Carson Wentz is trying to do too much. He's trying to thread the needle out there on the long ball, and you know the odds are ridiculously against you. So, if they just show him film, and he takes a look at the guys that are actually open that he should see on some short plays, and sticks with the game plan, he should be okay, right? Now, I just said two words that open up another conversation. Cold game plan. Yes, but we are in our first 15-minute segment. That has concluded. We've got two left. And I just want to talk to you for a moment. You know all about Tampadelphia. Mugs and Clearwater, mugs and jugs and Brandon. No dues, no cover, no money, no anything. Free giveaway, free prizes. Free prizes when wherever Paul goes, he gives away free prizes. Good stuff, too. Eagles merch, along with electronics, along with gift certificates, along with other things that you may find useful, helpful, or fun in your life. So if you like that, and you like keeping your money in your pocket and not spending a lot of money, but you like getting a good value, a good bang for your buck, join us. Mugs or Mugs and Jugs, either one. But I want to talk to you about, Courtney. Not Courtney. I keep calling him Courtney, and I apologize. It's Cortland. His last name is Pozzi, P-O-Z-Z-I. Cortland has a business. He's a Paisan from South Philly. I met him this season. And it's called Anti-Pesto Bug Killers. I think that is so cool. He turned a little Italian dish of antipasto into anti-pesto. He is one of those service guys that has his own business that offers some exciting specials to Tampadelphia fans. If you're within the sound of this podcast, which you should be if you're on planet Earth, you can call Cortland and you can have him come out, inspect your home, give you certificates or certifications, rather. He can do some work for you. He can prepare, he can correct, and he can secure. And he's a good guy. He's got at least three or four specials that I'm looking at right now in the handout that he gave me. So I invite you to call Anti-Pesto Bug Killers, Cortland Posey, 267-978-2124. And I'll give that to you again, 267-978-2124. Good guy, good service. And you know what? Probably really good work. So think of Cortland when it's your time to protect. Okay, the next 15 minutes of the show. Let's talk. I said I opened up another two dangerous words. Game plan. Hey, Doug, you know the run was working, and then the run stopped. I think I know why. It's because Brandon Brooks went out. But. The passing game wasn't working either. So what Doug does is Doug goes to, a ratio of 2 passes for every run after that. What? Carson wasn't clicking. That was obvious to anybody who had open eyeballs and was watching the game. But Doug continued to let him pass and throw his way out of it. Doug, it was an NFL quarterback. He has experience that we don't. I respect that. Doug has knowledge that we don't. I respect that. And Doug has seen us over and over and over, and that's called experience as a coach as well as a player, and I respect that. So maybe that was the thing to do to help Carson get through it, but he didn't get through it, so we burned the afternoon and the game, ending up 5-6. But the run went away. That was working. And as we get into stats, you'll see some interesting numbers come out. There's not a whole lot of them that are good, but you can interpret numbers to get a feel for the game without ever leaving the page. So we had no Lane Johnson, obviously. We had no Brandon Brooks. We had no wide receivers. We had no running game. We didn't have pass protection. The offense was a mess all around. I think our neediest group, I think our wide receivers, Jeffrey and Aguilar are supposed to be coming back this week, but they were supposed to come back last week. So what's up with that? And we also have a friend of mine who today said to me, I think our offensive line is the neediest group, and maybe that's true too. Wentz isn't getting any help from the people around him, so he's trying to do it all himself. And look, man, no matter what, we're behind you, we're with you. It happens. It's sports. It's life. You're human. Forget about it. You can't do it all. And I don't think anybody in their right mind expects you to. Don't worry about pleasing the fans. Don't worry about carrying the team on your shoulders. Don't worry about looking like a hero. Come on. Just relax and play your game. You've got talent, abilities, height, skill, maturity, wisdom. You've got a lot of good things. Take a couple of deep breaths. Take a day off. Go fishing. Air out your head. You know? That said, like I said before, you can't bench Wentz. You can't bench him. A lot of people are giving me the optimism and saying, Paul, don't you see it? The rough part of the schedule's over. We've got easy games. We've got a game against Miami coming up. They're a junk team. We've got two games coming up against the Giants, and they're a junk team. We've got the Skins again. That's a junk team. That's four games. And then we've got a game against Dallas in Philly. And we could go ahead and we could take that game. So they see us possibly winning four games to get to 9 wins, which, in my estimation, will not be enough to get into the playoffs. I think the wild card berths are going to go to somebody in the Central or the West. And you need 10. So it's going to come. It might come down to beating Dallas, and it might come down to tiebreakers. But I'll tell you what. My money's not on that happening. My street smarts and eagle scars are twitching. And red flags are flipping. And you know why? I'll tell you why. Every year, every season, you win a game you should lose, and you lose a game you should win. Stop right there and think, what game did we play that we should have lost, but we won? How about Green Bay? In Green Bay. First time they've been beat there in, what, 40 years or something? Some outrageous voodoo or witchcraft or spell made them a very successful team up there. Eagles went in and destroyed it, blew it up, came home. That's the game we won that we should have lost. So what is the game that we should win that we might lose? Well, you know, Paul, we got a lot of junk teams ahead. We got Miami, we got the Redskins, we got the Giants twice. Hey, stop. Guess what? Right now, the Eagles are a junk team. So who is looking at Philadelphia on their schedule and licking their chops and can't wait to pound on us? And that's the game we should lose. That's the game we'll lose that we should win, rather. And you know what? It might be Miami. Right now, I am not confident that we could go to Miami and beat Miami in Miami. Why do I say that? Remember numbers? Okay. Last week, we scored 9 points. The week before, we scored 17. New England's defense is okay. It's not great. Seattle's got a better defense, and that snuffed us. Miami, I don't know if Miami, what Miami wants to do, but Miami played the Cleveland Browns. And I'm not saying that the Cleveland Browns are a juggernaut team and going anywhere or very far or very fast. But Miami put up 24 points. So let's say that they cut that by a quarter, which is 6 out of 24, gives us 18. 18 points against a 17-point weekend and a 9-point weekend. Miami wins. Can we do better than 17 points? I don't know. Let's talk about that. As you know, one of the goals of the show is to make you think, make you see things a little bit differently when you watch the game instead of the pablum that the announcers feed you and what the only things the cameras want you to see. Let's think about this. I had asked earlier how many times a game does a team get the ball to start a series. And we arbitrarily said, or let's be honest, I unilaterally said, okay, let's figure 15. So we're going to have 15 series where we get a chance to drive downfield and score points. Okay. Our best scorer right now is our kicker. It's not Carson Wentz. It's not Zach Ertz. And it's not Jordan Howard. It's our kicker. So let's stop and think. The guy can nail anything within 40 yards. So maybe all we have to do is go 40 or 50 yards. How do we do that? Dink, dunk, plink, plunk. The old West Coast offense. Short passes, high completion percentage ratios, and guys that can grab the balls. Even somebody like Greg Ward or JJ or Ertz or Goddard, right? Or Sanders? How about that? If we have the ball 15 times and we go down and we score on half those possessions, 7 or 8 times 3. Is 21 to 24 points a game. You put up 21 or 24 points a game, how many games out of your 16-game season are you going to win? You're going to win a lot of football games. Yeah, you are. So what the hell are you doing throwing for 40 and 40-yard pass plays? Tuck it in, dude. Unload the ball. Keep it short. If our receivers can't catch or get separation, that's a different story. If they are double-teaming Ertz or Goddard, you find another way. But that is on the coach to call the play. And this is where the other part of the big blame goes, is right on Doug Peterson. Everything from here on in is on Doug Peterson. Period. He is the strategist, the general. During game days, he's the Rommel on the sideline, right? He is telling his troops what to do, where to go, and how to do it. Now, in concert with his main generals or lieutenants, they construct the game plan based on the film that they see and the talent that they have and who they know is playing or not playing. You know, the little chess mismatches and whatnot. But if Doug is putting in plays that are ridiculous, if they're not efficient, if they're not effective, if they're not taking advantage of certain realities on the field, that spills right back on Doug. And I got to tell you, Doug Peterson's been getting his share of heat in his press conferences from the media. Yeah, they're still polite, nice guys asking the questions in a pleasant tone of voice, but they're closing in. And they're starting to be a little bit aggressive with Doug Peterson. And Doug Peterson has been getting defensive. saying, we win as a team, we lose as a team. There's no one player, there's no one this, there's no one that. Gotcha. You don't want to do that. I said that last week and maybe a few weeks before. But you know what? It all rolls back up to you. Because you got to get these guys not in the position to win. Don't go there. Don't give me Andy Reid phrases. You got to give these guys a game plan that'll work for the short game against this type of defense. And you know who you ask? Jim Schwartz. You say, Jim, how would you beat this defense? Jim, what would you hate to see? What would beat your defense if you had this situation? And Schwartz will tell you. So, Doug, put your thinking cap on because it's all on you, man. And it's not going to go away. It ain't going to go away. Well, guess where we're at? We're at the end of our second 15-minute period. And I want to thank you for putting up with me. I might be just a little bit under the weather. As you know, I volunteer at a very, very large hospital here in the Tampa Bay area. I can't think of any place else in the Bay Area that has more germs than a hospital. And I'm at one of the biggest, one of the busiest, and I am right there as soon as you walk in. As the people cough, hack, touch, need a wheelchair, ask questions, need an escort, labs calling, biohazards calling. Paul, can you come and take this down to the labs? Yeah, let me just wash up. Let me just sterilize. Let me glove up or mask up. So I take precautions and I wash my hands every 45 minutes and I do other things to try and keep germs at bay. But the best thing is a solid night's sleep. And, you know, the cold weather sometimes makes sleeping a little bit easier, but it makes waking up a little bit harder too. So anyway, I got to do a little bit better than my 5 or 6 hours. So that said, if I sound a little raw, I am. And thanks for putting up with me. I started saying we're at the next station break. We had a guy in the audience that was kind of interesting. And I asked him, I said, is Mike Wayock here? And the hand went up. And I said, are you Mike Wayock, the professional guitarist, singer, and utility guy? He said, that is me. I said, are you Mike Wayock that lived and worked and played in Nashville? He said, yep, that's me. And I said, and you're from Philadelphia? He says, Delaware County. And I said, you're an Eagles fan? He says, I'm here with you in Tampa, Delphia. And I said to Mike Wayock, Mike, are you available to help people in Tampa, Delphia? He says, sure am. So if you're looking for entertainment or an entertainer, a singer, a guitarist, or a good utility guy to put into your group, I invite you to call Mike, Tampa, Delphia guy. He's got his old Philly number still with him, 610-331-0554. 610-331-0554. And Mike Wayock has a Facebook page. It's at Mike Wayock. If you want to look him up, see some stuff, hear some stuff. Nice guy, great guy. I'm a fan, and I will be a bigger fan. I like the person. I play the man. Really, it's in your eyes. It's in your tone of voice, your attitude. And if you want to rumble, we'll rumble. If you want to get along, we get along. If you want to laugh and have fun, then you're more than welcome. But I'll tell you, you know, life is fast, right? But Mike Wayock is one of those guys that I think you'll like. Mike is just a gentleman. He's a talented, gifted guy. And if you have the need, think of him, okay? Mike Wayock. And go to Mike Wayock's Facebook page for more info. Ta-da. That was short and sweet, right? This is when we get into stats, but I got to tell you, our defense probably deserves more of an analysis of the stats than anybody else. The defense was really good. They held the Seahawks to 17 points, which you may or may not know is 8 points below their average. They were averaging 25 points a game. They only scored 17 on Philly. The Eagles defense forced 2 turnovers. And we got 3 sacks. Not bad. If you hold Russell Wilson and the Seahawks to 17 points in your own stadium, you should win that game. And this is four straight games now. The Eagles defense have allowed only 17 or fewer points. This is the first time they've done that in one season since 2009, a whole 10 years ago, or 160 games. So, listeners, educated, smart, intelligent, diehard listeners, and I know you're out there because I see my stats and my numbers are going up week after week after week. Just a little opening stat, attaboy for our defense, who really has earned recognition. Something flashed in my head that's cracking me up. Do you remember when Buddy Ryan was coach? Buddy Ryan had the Sledgehammer Award. Do you remember that? Buddy Ryan used to give out, he got the Sledgehammer, one of these heavy-ass bastards, right? And he painted the head of the Sledgehammer green. And whoever had the hardest hit on the defense that game got the Sledgehammer Award. And they put that sledgehammer on top of their locker for everybody else on the defense to see that whole week. And man, you talk about mind games and motivation. Buddy was at the top. And he did that. And maybe we need to do that this time. You know, for the hitters. Because I'll tell you what, I saw some plays where they just ran right by us. Yeah, I saw Russell Douglas whiff like a matador. And, you know, I hate to say his name out loud, but number 32, there's only one 32 on our team. Couldn't have been anybody else. The good news is we've been getting guys back week by week. We got back General Mills, as I call him. It's Jalen Mills with the green hair, but we got back General Mills, and he's a bright young lad. He's talented. He made a nice addition when he came back, and we're getting back Crevon LeBlanc. Personal friends with Pepe Le Pew. Hello, baby. My little flower. Crevon LeBlanc is coming back this week, and that's a good sign, too. But our defense, folks, nice going, Mr. Schwartz. Nice going, Mr. Schwartz. So we're going to get into a couple of more stats, but there's something else I want to see. I hope that Greg Ward, the wide receiver with the unimpressive statistics, gets more play this coming week. But I don't know. He may ride the pine, as they say. Hopefully he's back. Barrett Brooks, get well soon, man. I'm looking over my notes, and Barrett Brooks, you're an old pro. You've done well. You'll do better. You've got a lot more football life ahead, so take a few deep breaths. Relax. Relax. You're among friends. We got to hold each other up. Wounded warriors, right? There's a lot I want to say about the medical, because we're on our third medical team in 3 years. And the point I want to make is that our guys are still getting hurt, but they're taking longer to recover too. What the hell? It's really, really affecting this team. You know, you listen to Doug Peterson's press conference, and I like Doug Peterson as a person. I think he's a first-class guy. I think he's extremely bright, and I think he has a great way with people. But you ask him a medical question about one of his players, you know what he says? That's a medical thing. I don't know that. I don't know about that. Oh, that's smoke and mirrors, because you know what? He's supposed to know about that. And that's a cop-out. So maybe he doesn't want to get into a long discussion, a medical thing, and fight more questions. Then people start looking into the doctors or the treatments, whatever the situation might be. But, we need to. It's taken way too long for our guys to mend. Are we out of shape? Remember when Vermeil used to kill the guys in training camp? And so did Buddy. Then our guys were fit. I mean, they came out hitting hard the first few games because they both wanted to open up an early lead in the division, in the win-loss column. They wanted that 4-1 standing, you know? And I don't know if Coach Peterson thinks that maybe he can just sort of glide his way through that stuff, you know, and sip the latte as he goes. But I'll tell you what, our guys are maybe not in football shape, but maybe they are. So the medical staff includes the trainers. What are the trainers doing when they have these guys out on the field? Time to get off the TV. Time to get your head out of everything except, you know, the gym and the trainer's room and the film room. You know, that's your life. So that's all I'm going to say about that because we're winding down. We've got 5 minutes left. The big stat, I don't know. The Eagles are scoring 22.1 points a game. It's 18th out of 32 teams. We're 23rd in yards gained. And of those 338.4 yards that have been gained, fully two-thirds of them, or 217, have come by the pass, and only one-third, or 121, are by rush. The Eagles rank 13th in the league in rushing, and we're not using it. Gee, wouldn't it be cool if we did? Passing yards were 23rd. Total yards were 23rd. Scoring points were 18th. It's because the rush is pulling up the pass. Nobody seems to notice that. Of our total first downs, 70 are by rush, 133 by pass. What's 2 times 70? 140, right? 140 versus 133. Double the pass against the run. And we got 26 first downs by penalty. We're not even 50% on third down conversions, and we're a paltry less than 30% on fourth down conversions. We're not setting the league on fire, guys. Our average yard on offense is 5.1, and we're not rushing the ball. That also tells me that maybe the pass isn't working. It also tells me, if you notice the plays, whenever Zach gets the ball, as soon as he gets hit, he goes down. Some of our yards after the catch must be anemic. Pardon me. Anyway, we have 31 sacks total as a team. Our opponents, 28. We're 14-14 on field goals. Hey, what? What'd you say? 14-14 on field goals. What about that point you made earlier about going for the field goals instead of the long ball? Yeah. Hey, that's a connection. Yeah, our kicker's our best scorer. We've got 29 touchdowns. And our time of possession is a little bit longer than the other guys. Not much change in the stats for rushing and receiving and defensive and everything else. Maybe the only really, really, really big thing is that, we dropped a couple more players this week. If you didn't notice, we cut Jordan Matthews. We brought in a safety. And we've got Crevon LeBlanc coming back on defense. So we will see a wee bit of a change. We are in our final minute. I'm going to use this final minute to thank the people of Tampa Delphia who come out to our games for their loyalty, their support, and their love. We're like an extended family. It's a very, very nice place to be. I also want to thank the staff and host of Mugs in Clearwater and the staff and host of Mugs and Jugs in Brandon. Two good establishments, and they're treating us very well. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen there, we appreciate your service. And I also want to thank everybody else that has any participation with Tampa Delphia. It's all about fun. It's all about a good game day. If you get the chance, please do. With that, I'm out. Time's up. I hope you have a great week. God bless all, and let's go Eagles.